From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, this is Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Democratic candidates are already jockeying for position in the 2008 presidential race, but not Al Gore. He says he's committed to a different kind of campaign, combating global climate change. Gore's documentary film, An Inconvenient Truth, created a sensation last year, and it may well pick up an Academy Award nomination this year. And now he's hoping to capitalize on the movie's momentum, recruiting an army of volunteers to take the message of his film into communities around the country. Living on Earth, Jeff Young recently caught up with Al Gore in Nashville, Tennessee, where the former vice president was rallying his troops.
It's just before 8 in the morning, and some 200 people from around the country file into a conference room at the Hilton Hotel in downtown Nashville. They're coffeed up and loaded down with handouts and books on climate science. Oh, and slides. Lots of slides. They're here to learn how to be Al Gore, or at least how to present Gore's strangely compelling slideshow on global warming.
This is going to be the slideshow pretty much as I give it. It changes and evolves over time. Unfortunately, the evidence has all pointed in the same direction.
That direction leads to what Gore calls a climate crisis. He paces the room, pointing out how the slideshow's clever mix of images gets across complex ideas. Just behind him, Dr. Richard Alley strokes his beard and then speaks up. Alley, a climate scientist from Penn State University, makes sure the message stays true to the science.
If Mr. Gore and I quibble about anything here, you should recognize the science of what you have just seen is remarkably solid. We can argue around the edges of everything, but the basic message is right.
I could quibble with that, but basically, thank you.
Alley fields a question about how long different greenhouse gases persist in the atmosphere. And that leads to another question about emissions from industry versus those from agriculture.
But one of the judgments that I've made as a result of all that is that it doesn't help us to talk too much about cow farting.
A little humor helps after hours of dire predictions of sea level rise, drought, and flood. During a break, Gore sat down with me to explain why he thinks 1,000 people giving a slideshow can help prevent those disasters.
I'm giving them my slides so they can present them in their voices, connect them to their own passion for trying to save the global environment. And the first two classes that I trained have already collectively given my slideshow more times as a group than I've been able to give it personally in 15 years. So that's great.
What is it that you want the people who get this message to do? What's more important, the personal consumption choices about energy or the political choices that they might make based on, say, a candidate or a platform that addresses this issue?
Well, I don't think they're separate. When people make, when they see the reality of it and reach a conclusion that this is a moral issue and we have to change. First of all, they want to make changes in their own relationship to the problem. But when people take personal actions, that leads inevitably to their desire to have changes in policies. They begin to communicate with their representatives at the local and state and national level and say, look, I've made these changes in my life. You know, I want you to work for changes in policy, and I think that they're linked together.
Yeah, because I know at the end of the film, for example, when the credits were rolling, there are all these things you can do, which kind of gave it a uplifting spirit at the end. But I was wondering, you know, okay, I can drive a hybrid car, mass transit, use fluorescent bulbs instead of incandescent bulbs, et cetera, et cetera. What difference does it make if China is still going to build a coal-fired power plant a week?
Well, the world as a whole must respond to this and will respond to it, but it's more likely to respond more quickly when the U.S. provides leadership and when enough American citizens become part of this new critical mass of opinion and the U.S. changes policy, then it becomes much more likely that China will make the changes it has to make, and we're all in this together.
Gore's trainees include some top scientists and policymakers and a smattering of celebrities. Actress Cameron Diaz was even here. But they're not all from latte-sipping blue state America. There are southern accents and western boots here, too. People who can talk about global warming in places where Al Gore might not get a very warm welcome. People like Gary Dunham, a retired advertising executive from Houston.
I've accompanied my wife to Washington, D.C. for a convention. She is an officer in the DAR. She had a lot of busy things to do. I had a lot of time on my hands, and I went to see Al Gore's movie. By the way, I didn't vote for him. I went as a skeptic and knocked me for a loop. I became a believer.
The DAR, that's Daughters of the American Revolution. They're like some radical out there left-wing group, right?
No, my wife wouldn't agree with that. Very patriotic group. I actually put the program together for my wife to use with the DAR. I said, honey, I'm going to make you a program that's going to really get somebody's attention, and we did. And that's where I first started giving the program, was to DAR chapters.
That's right. The Daughters of the American Revolution are getting the global warming message. And so will churchgoers in Prattville, Alabama, hunters in Imperial, Pennsylvania, and attention Walmart shoppers in Laramie, Wyoming. Christina Quick in Eye Care can also tell you about climate change.
I'm an optician. I work for Walmart. So this is kind of a new experience for me. I'm jumping in kind of feet first, and I'm common Joe kind of on the street. And I think it's a kind of a good thing, because I think that I'm going to be able to go back and I'm going to be able to tell them something on a level that they're going to be able to understand. So I'm kind of excited about that.
And why does it matter so much to you? I mean, this has got to be not so easy to do all this travel and take time out from your life and all that.
Mainly, I mean, my youngest is 2 years old. And how can you be a good parent if you're contemplating leaving them a world that may not be anything to look at? There might not be much left.
It's a point Gore returns to repeatedly in our conversation, the moral aspect of climate change.
This really shouldn't be approached as a political issue. It has political dimensions. Some of the solutions require action within the political system. But ultimately, it's a moral issue. It's an ethical issue. It's almost a spiritual issue, because it affects our survival. Who are we? What is our moral responsibility to those who come after us? And the issue of how we solve it, how we can most effectively address it, we should debate that and talk about it. But what should change is the efforts of some who are intentionally trying to delay any reasoned debate by confusing the scientific evidence with by putting out smoke screens and sort of pseudo-scientific studies. I want to see the creation of a new political reality in America where the candidates in both political parties are competing among themselves to carry that mantle and to offer genuinely effective solutions. That's really the change that's needed.
If I'm a politician listening to you saying this, I might say, well, why didn't he do more when he was in office? If this was such a passionate issue for him, he had 8 years as vice president, what did he accomplish on climate change?
Well, it's a fair question. And I tried my best, and I learned in the process that the opposition to the kind of dramatic changes that are needed is so deep and so ingrained that it may well be that the only way to bring about the kind of policy changes that are needed is to first of all bring about the changes in public opinion that make it possible for political leaders in both parties to do what's necessary. I'll give you an example. I went to Kyoto and helped to bring about the breakthrough that achieved the treaty there. But as vice president, when I brought that treaty back home to the United States, I could only convince one senator out of 100 to ratify it, the late Paul Wellstone. And it's not that the other senators didn't care or weren't intelligent, none of that. It's just that they looked at the state of opinion in their constituencies, in their home states, and what they found was a situation where they felt that it was sort of beyond the pale, beyond the possibility to imagine supporting something like that without suffering real electoral consequences. So one of the things I learned from that experience had to do with the need to go to the grassroots level and change public opinion to the maximum extent possible. And the good news, again, is that these changes are beginning to take place. I hope they'll be speeded up and take place in time. I believe that they will.
The training sessions are his effort to bring that about. But some see another possible use for this nationwide network. It had certainly come in handy if someone wanted to run for national political office. Should Al Gore run for president again?
God, I hope so. If I could vote twice, I would.
I absolutely think he should run for president again.
I would be ecstatic if he ran again.
It's nice when somebody says that they think that about me, and I do appreciate that. But I do not have any plans or intentions or expectations of it. I've fallen out of love with politics. I'm not hungering to ever be a candidate again, and really do not anticipate any circumstances in which I would be. But again, I'm involved in a different kind of campaign. It's an effort to try to persuade people about why and how we must rise to the challenge, the most serious challenge our civilizations ever faced. And that's the focus of my efforts.
This month, Gore met his goal of training 1,000 people to give his presentation. He leaves them with some 300 slides and a quote from Gandhi: "Become the change you wish to see in the world." For Living on Earth, I'm Jeff Young in Nashville.
Coming up, science and religion call a truce in the culture wars to avert an environmental apocalypse. That's just ahead on Living on Earth.